Hi, this is Kalina.
And this is Gabe.
Welcome to
Bigger Than Love.
Hello, and welcome to Bigger Than Love. I'm Kalina.
And I'm Gabe.
And we are chilling, excited to be here. Today, we are going to be talking about why rest and pauses and non-productivity is actually pretty rad. And it turns out pausing is a skill. So we're going to talk about that skill today. I've been asking myself this question a lot lately in my own personal life. What if doing less is the most powerful thing that you can do? In a world obsessed with more, better, faster, today, we're going to talk about the radical art of pausing. Rest isn't lazy and slowness isn't weakness. So we're going to unpack the stories that we might be carrying about productivity, self-worth, and what it really means to be alive and be in the moment. I have been asking myself the question a lot, like, why is doing less so hard? And why do we feel guilty when we pause? And I don't think I'm alone in this. Gabe, do you have trouble pausing?
No. Don't just stand there, do something. I have the inverse, which is just like, don't do anything, just stand there. I have no problem just standing there. Or as Erykah Badu would say, jump up in the air and stay there.
Okay, well, I definitely have trouble with this. So I think that there is, for many people, a productivity myth, like where we've kind of been told a lie, like a shiny, hustle-flavored, Instagram-approved lie. And maybe you don't feel this way because like you're not on social media, I don't know. But kind of the feeling that I get, and I don't think I'm alone, is that if you just do more, faster, or better, then you'll finally arrive. But the truth is, you don't get your life back at the end of a to-do list. You just get a new to-do list. And I think that's something, as I get older, I've noticed a lot. It's like, oh, great, like I did everything on my list today. And then you go to bed and you wake up and you have a new list. Kind of like taxes, how you like do your taxes and then you're like, yay. And then like you have to do your taxes like a week later again. I don't know. Like I think as a culture, we definitely treat rest like dessert, like it's a guilty pleasure of some sort. And stillness.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And stillness as a waste of time. Like meanwhile, the most magical parts of being human are creativity and connection and joy. But these things need space, not necessarily spreadsheets. Everyone who knows me knows that I love two things a lot, spreadsheets and PDFs.
Yeah, you're definitely a PDF lady.
Yeah, I love spreadsheets and PDFs. But
that could be your superhero character, spreadsheet girl. PDF girl to
PDF
the rescue.
Girl. Okay, well,
I will consolidate all your files.
You know, I'm laughing because it's true. One of the things that I recognize a lot in my own life is that I can be very busy every second and still feel hollow. And I don't feel that way now, but I know when I was younger, I was just, especially in my 20s, like I just felt like every second of the day had to be filled with an activity and a doing, and not necessarily always work, but whether it's like hanging with friends or like going out and doing something or studying or reading. And I still, for a very big part of like my youth, didn't feel much joy, you know? Like I think in the last episode I even said that, like when we met, like I was really busy, but it had been a while since I had like felt like a spark of joy. So, and I don't necessarily think that I'm alone in that, like that we can be busy and still kind of feel lost. Right. So you can also do less and feel really deeply alive at the end of the day. And that's something that I know now, like as I get older, I really love that feeling of like, oh, wow, I didn't do anything today. And I'm like so happy.
The Italians have a term for that. It's il dolce far niente, which is the joy of doing nothing.
I like that. Yeah, you get it. So what is rest? I think it's funny that when I was thinking about this episode and like what we would talk about, I thought like, is it funny to define like what rest is? But then I thought about myself and like, actually, no, I actually had to learn how to rest. Because I think most of us are, as we age and get older, we're rethinking our definition of rest. And most people think rest is like sleeping or zoning out on the couch or scrolling or binge watching TV. But true rest is not just the absence of work, but the presence of restoration. what does it mean to restore? So there's different types of rest beyond just like taking a nap or like sleeping at night. There's sensory rest, like just by reducing sound and light and screen time. There's also emotional rest, letting go of holding space for others or allowing feelings to surface. And I know this is a really big one if you work in a service industry, like being a teacher, for instance, or which I know many of our listeners are yoga teachers. It's a big task sometimes to give yourself emotional rest. And not even if you in work, but in your personal life too, especially if you have family and partners that you're holding space for, like how do you give yourself a little bit of space to process, but then also just rest when you're holding so much, and creating mental rest too, like creating pauses and thought loops or information intake. I know for me, like when I'm working on one of my famous PDFs, LOL, that I have to like stand up and like take a break from the computer just to have a moment to kind of gather up my thoughts and kind of step away from project. I don't know if you do that when you're working on stuff.
I do. Although a lot of my work happens in front of the computer, there's still a very tactile nature of my work in terms of using my hands and playing music and moving stuff around. Every few hours, I like to get up and do something, whether it's a couple dishes, whether it's jumping some rope, whether it's taking the dogs out, or even coming into the other room and checking in with you or whatever. I like to just swivel not only the chair, but my perception, my perceptual positioning system.
Creative rest is important to receive. It's something as simple as, I don't know, taking class instead of teaching class, receiving rather than producing. I mean, my version of that is I like to get a massage. Sometimes you just need to, you know, to take a step back. Like sometimes you need to just like lay low at home, which can be hard socially, right? Because you don't want to, I don't know. I'm not really someone who has FOMO.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both, you know, are blessed with JOMO,
yeah,
which is the joy of missing out.
Yeah. Even when I was younger, I wasn't really, like when I was like a kid, I was totally fine, like if I didn't go to things. But I do understand that some people are not like that. Mm-hmm. But for me, I really need, for every like hour that I teach, I need like three.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when I think like what students might think about me, they're like, oh, well, she only worked 1 hour today. She's probably off like frolicking in like a lavender field and just like having the best day, when really I'm just like zoned out here, like staring at the wall. Cause it can be
staring at the wall or staring at the TV.
TV. I mean,
TV meditation.
I do what's called a TV meditation. I love television, and I used to feel really bad like for saying that, because, you know, people were like, oh, like, don't you like to read books and don't you like to do? And I was like, yeah, I like to read books, but I also like to watch TV.
I mean, that was your grandma's email address.
TV Watching Nan? Yeah.
TV Watching Nan 1972 or something?
No, I think it was TV Watching Nan at hotmail.com.
So good.
Also, there's spiritual rest, which I always think of this as like feeling connected to something greater than yourself. Like it could be nature or meaning or wonder. I talk a lot about this in teacher trainings, about the prerequisite for like a practice or learning is wonder. Like to be like, oh, I wonder, you know, what's going to happen. Or I wonder what's possible. I think that that's like one of the coolest things about yoga practice and learning and studying is like, oh, like what else is there, you know, inside myself, but also in the world. So what does rest feel like versus what it looks like? I don't think rest always has to be still or quiet. Like rest can be playful and nourishing, or like a slow motion joy, like lying on the floor and doing nothing. So sometimes I think of this in reference to you, Gabe, because when we first met, and you're getting to know someone, I would ask you a lot of questions like, what did you do on your 25th birthday or whatever? Mm-hmm. Because I met you fairly close to your 28th birthday. So I remember asking you, and you're like, oh, I just laid around, like just hung out by myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've always zagged to the zig, whatever I considered to be the normal thing to do. I always found myself doing the opposite of that.
That's cool. Zigzag. Yeah, I think rest can also just be like taking a walk. I like to do this, like especially in the mornings, like take a walk without really a destination. I know a lot of people will go for like coffee or But I like to just kind of wander around the neighborhood. And that's something I know you and I like to do too. Like when we're take time off of work or like take a vacation, we'd like to just wander like without really having a plan. In fact, sometimes people look at us weird and they're like, oh, what are you doing like on your vacation? Like, are you going on a tour bus or like, are you going to take a, they asked us this a lot when we were going to go to Paris a few years ago on my 40th birthday. They're like, are you going to see this, that, and this? And we were like, we don't know. Like, actually everywhere we go, people will be like, oh, are you going to, the biggest thing people always want to know if what we're going to do is if we're going to go to a museum. That's like the big thing. And, or do whatever it is people do wherever we're planning on going. And that's one of the things I love about you is we never really have a plan. And to me, that feels like rest. Like that's feels like the only way to vacation is to just not have a plan. But I realize that some people are the opposite of that.
I can't remember who told me this, but there's this saying when someone asks a Zen master like what the path of enlightenment was, and the Zen master replied, just do one thing at a time, which is like if you're washing the dishes, just wash the dishes. If you're going to the bathroom, just go to the bathroom. And I think that translates in the sense of when we go on vacation, usually we pick one thing to do. All right, oh, there's this flea market over here. All right, cool. We'll go to that flea market and that'll be like the one thing we planned that day. And then when you just have that little bit of bumper lane around it, it still leaves this whole, it continues to offer this realm of possibility of doing something else or that being the one thing you do that day. But something you touched on a little while ago is this need to overcommit ourselves. Sounds like you have more to share about that.
Yeah, I think that with all of this, I mean, everyone's different. Everyone likes to chill in different ways or rest in different ways. I mean, whether it's staring at the ceiling or listening to music with your hand on your heart or crying it out. I know for me, sometimes rest is letting it out, whatever it is. And I mean, I know I don't have to tell you that. So yeah, it's personal. Rest is super personal and it doesn't look always the same on every person. With rest, I think it's less about what it looks like from the outside and more about what it feels like in your body or how it lands in your body. In other words, I think that whatever rest you choose to do, you leave feeling more. Like you feel more you, right? There are certain people in our life that I know I'm just joking about how like social rest is a big thing, but there are also like the flip side of that is sometimes there are people in places that when you hang out with them, you actually leave feeling more rested, right? Like their partnership or their friendship and conversation leaves you feeling more inside of yourself, more grounded inside of yourself. So I think it's just important for us as humans and individuals to really like ask ourselves, what does rest feel like for me? And if I don't feel rested in certain scenarios, like maybe it's not really rest. So this idea of rest versus productive recovery for myself and a lot of our community, we've gotten really good at sneaky productivity. And what I mean by that, especially for someone, if you're like me, who's always doing something, always at something, always thinking about what we could do next, then you definitely are going to try to think of ways to like, even on your day off to like be productive. I mean, I know for myself, I'll take a day off and spend it like rolling out. I know other people, and I even see this a lot on social media, is like on your day off, spend it foam rolling, ice bathing, doing mobility drills, all under the banner of recovery, like a recovery day. And it looks like rest, but it's still performance driven. So like our brain is still like, how good can I, you know, how good can I roll out? Like how good can I, you know, how long can I stay in this ice bath? And the goal is still to get somewhere, right?
It's still goal oriented.
Yeah, it has an agenda. It's measured, exists in service of a future output. But true rest doesn't really have an agenda, right? Like it isn't measured. It exists in a service to you, not your next milestone. One is about optimizing the machine and the other is about remembering you're not a machine. And that's a big one. Like, yes, you are living in a body, but like rest is about something deeper than that. rest is non-transactional. True rest is non-transactional. You don't do it to be better later. You do it because you're a human who needs space to just be. Just be. And I say that a lot in classes, and I really mean that. Like, can you just let yourself be? Don't worry about if you're going to get a handstand or, like, you know, don't worry if you fall out of something. Can you just let yourself be whatever it is? And in that way, like, you can. I do think it's possible for practices to be restorative, but not if you're getting at something with everything you're doing. Like, you're trying to always set your personal best every single activity that you do, you know? And I think that's hard too, because like we even have these little things around our wrists, like our watches, that give us a score on how well we sleep, you know? Like my watch will be like, you had a horrible night's sleep, 0 stars, you know? And so then even something as simple as like sleeping becomes something you're getting graded on. I think with all of this, it's important to remember that rest isn't just an idea. Like, it's biology. When you slow down, your body can actually do what it needs to do, like regulate stress response, dialing down your fight or flight response, shift you into parasympathetic mode, your rest and digest mode, where real healing can happen, not just healing in your mind, but healing in your body too, and real repair can happen. And rest can also help you integrate, like giving your system space to process experiences, for example, emotions and ideas, instead of storing them as unfinished business, which is really hard. I think we live feeling often that we are not allowed to take up space when something big happens in our life. And rest is the bridge between what happens to you and what happens through you. And this is really big, not just as like a teacher or a creative person, but just as a human in general. Life throws experiences at us faster than we can process. And conversations and stressors and breakthroughs, heartbreaks, deadlines, like without rest, they start to pile up. And sitting in the body like unopened letters, I don't know if you've ever like went to your mailbox, like when you get home from a vacation, you're just like, oh my gosh, like so much mail, like so much stuff. Or you like, you open up your inbox and you're like, I have so many emails to answer. But when you rest, you create the conditions for digestion, right? Not just, you know, not just the food, but life. And life requires digestion. A hard conversation softens into perspective. Creative spark blooms into an idea when we rest. A grief wave moves through instead of calcifying.
That's interesting, the calcification of grief.
Rest doesn't erase what happens, but it does change our relationship to it, right? It takes the raw and the unprocessed material of living and lets it transform into wisdom, art, like in your instance, or clarity, or simply a lightness of having moved through something. And I think that we become better people when we're able to move through things lighter, right? More open. And without that bridge, we stay stuck on the shore of what happened to me, right? Mm-hmm. With it, we get to walk toward what's now possible through me. What's possible because. But if we don't allow for that digestion to take place, we don't get to that point. We can't get to the point of like, what's possible, like where to back to wonder, if you will.
It's interesting, not to draw undue comparison, but we were talking about TV meditation, and my favorite TV meditation that really began when you and I got together was cooking TV, in part because the cooking competitions, generally the impact is so low. You know, your chimichurri was oily and whatever, and you're going home. So it's a nice TV meditation. The reason I bring it up is in part because in my own cooking journey, something I experience a lot is like time takes time. Mm. If you're searing something, when something is seared, it will release itself from the pan, so to speak. But if you try to move it and you try to monkey with it too much, you're going to end up with something that doesn't have the desired effect, whether it's the crust, whether it's whatever it is, the color, whatever. It still may be cooked. You know, your life, as you said, life be life, and it's like you're still living. But are you really like experiencing it? Are you really allowing like the hard sear of any experience? And I say hard sear, it's not good or bad, whatever it is, to truly coalesce In yoga, would you call it the sankalpa, the vision of where you want to go?
Your call, like your heart's desire.
Is a sankalpa. Yeah. So even
it's another way of saying your intention.
So that intention of like, you know, I'm gonna make this dish. I know that it requires this, and oh wow, the pan is smoking, or wow, it looks antithetical to the outcome of what I really want. Right? I want to have a life where I feel connected to every moment. Well, society would dictate in order to do that, you got to do more. Oh, you want to feel connected? Well, you got to have this pillow and you got to have this lavender eye mask and then you got to have Inbox Zero. Mm-hmm. In my world, it revolves around an acronym that somebody said. It's GAS, which is Gear Acquisition Syndrome. Mm-hmm. When I, then I just need this one other piece of gear and then my collection is complete and I'll be ready to go. And that sort of idea of like getting to the there is ephemeral. In my experience.
Yeah. If I think of some other analogies for rest as the bridge between what happens to you and what happens through you, like I think of, well, you shared the story about your composter the other day.
Yeah, when I totally like sauced myself with compost juice.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, if I use the composter as an analogy, like
yeah,
to
young,
life.
That's me, young compost.
Yeah, exactly. Raw scraps. If you think of like the raw scraps that you put in your composter as like experiences, right? They don't become rich soil, like AKA wisdom, without time to decompose. I mean, that's why you have the composter, right? So rest is that quiet, like unseen transformation. I mean,
well, I think a common metaphor, certainly in the yoga community, meditation, Eastern philosophy, is the lotus, which is that incredible, beautiful flower that's just growing on top of, you know, on top of decomposing material. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's just this beautiful flower that blooms and underneath it literally requires entropy.
Mm-hmm. Or even more practical, like cloud sync. Your phone collects all these photos like that you take, like all these moments of your life, but they don't back up on the cloud until it's plugged in and like your phone takes a little nap, right? Like your phone sets in at idles and it rests. And when your phone is resting, it like uploads and organizes and frees up all kinds of space on your phone. But like it doesn't do that until you like plug it in, leave it alone, or turn it off.
Well,
right?
And even plugging it in is an act of reassurance, mm-hmm. right? Because it knows, okay, I'm secure.
Yeah.
I'm not going to run out of
if your
juice.
Phone knows to rest, then maybe you should know to rest.
Wow. Yeah, that's
I'm
a
just
deep
saying,
cut.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Sometimes your phone just is like, no, I'm not working anymore until you turn me off. Like, I don't know if maybe that's just my phone. My phone will just get hot and then it just won't work. It's just like, no, you can't work anymore. Like, I have to go to bed now. Plug me in, turn me off. I don't think I'm alone in that, given how many people I see using their phones. So what are the barriers to rest? I mean, I don't know. I'll ask you, Gabe, before I go on a riff about it. Like, what keeps you from resting?
Great barrier reef of rest. What keeps me from resting? That's a really good question. Again, like, I have been blessed with, or as Kevin Hart would say, the way my bank account is set up. For me, it's the opposite. The first step I can take is to get into my body. If I drop down into my body, I am moving towards the middle way, finding balance, which is whether it's moving around, whether it's doing a little yoga, whether it's going for a walk, whatever it is. It doesn't involve a screen. It involves something kinetic. I wouldn't even say like somatic. It's really something that involves moving, whether it's like maybe plucking on something, whether it's jumping a little rope, whether it's even making breakfast or something. Because like I said, I have the opposite issue, which is I can rest and digest. I can rest and digest and digest till there's nothing left to digest.
Yeah. Well, for those who are listening who maybe have a little like a bigger issue with rest or like find it hard, I think the things that can be barriers are guilt or like we said, FOMO or urgency culture, this myth that we have to earn rest, like that you don't just deserve to rest because, like, you have to, like, it's biology, or like you just mentioned, like getting into your body. There can sometimes be the sense of a disconnection from the body. Maybe we don't know what kind of rest we need, you know.
Well, I will say, hearing you educate about different kinds of rest, mm-hmm. Emotional rest, spiritual rest, social rest,
physical,
societal rest,
mental,
physical. I mean,
yeah.
It is, again, like if the goal of our podcast here is to bring a greater balance to our lives mm-hmm. and to just share that authentically with listeners, students, whomever.
Yeah, because I think most of us have been operating from the neck up for so long, like that without the internal listening, we default to whatever looks like rest, even if that's not nourishing, right? And that's okay. That's what conversation is for and what learning is for. And also, I think there's just a general fear for some people of boredom, like silence or self-confrontation. Like slowing down kind of strips away noise, and in the quiet, feelings come up. You know, and like you're like, okay, well, what am I going to do with these feelings? And so we might maybe even unknowingly be avoiding stillness and rest so that we don't have to feel these things, right?
These things being what?
Anything. I mean, I don't think it necessarily has to always have a name. And none of us are immune to it, you know? So that's why conversation is so important, and how we can practice doing less, and what can get in the way. So like the practice can be clearing the stage, like say no more often, protect your space, like it's your most valuable asset. I think often we don't realize that every time we say no to something, we're actually saying yes to ourselves. And there's always that kind of give and take happening. You mentioned earlier the practice of a single task, like give one thing your full attention and let it be enough. Or build in your pauses between projects, between conversations, or even between your breath. You can also practice and redefine enough, quote unquote, like let good be good enough instead of chasing perfect. And that one is straight up me talking to myself. So don't feel like that's directed towards anyone specifically. But if you're like me, it's like, why isn't good good? Like, why does it have to be perfect when really nothing is perfect?
A couple things come to mind hearing you say that. One being when you're driving east out of downtown, there's some big arts complex and it has this illuminated neon sign that says concrete is fluid. And I always thought that was kind of cool because we think of something being absolute like stone or certainly concrete, and even that being subject to change in a way. The other thing that comes to mind is the famous designer Coco Chanel, who said, you know, get ready and then take a look at yourself in the mirror before you leave and take one thing off. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that at least applies in my professional world of like, I call it balsamic production. What is the music telling me needs to be played? Not what does my ego think is cool, or what do I think will whatever put some sort of undue shine upon my performance? Like what is the music telling me to play? Like what is your body telling you it really needs right now, irrespective of whatever society dictates you should or should not be doing at any given time?
Yeah, I used to have actually a therapist who I no longer see, an old therapist. He used to say, choose nourishing over impressive. And that really stuck with me. Like, will this fill me up or will it just fill up my resume? You know, and especially if you're someone who has a lot of opportunity or like likes to work a lot, like, why am I doing this? You know? And also just being aware of the obstacles that perhaps, you know, stand in your way, like whatever they may be, and recognizing that the world most definitely rewards speed, not spaciousness. Like I've never, ever, I can't even remember the last time someone said to me, oh, Kalina, just take up as much space and as much time as you need. Like it's usually the opposite. Like, you know, like
it's interesting that you even use the word rewards, because again, like you see everything through the lens of your own experience. I feel like the world encourages speed. Yeah. But at least in my world, you know, something that resonates with me is like I'm rewarded by being judicious mm-hmm. about what I do.
Yeah.
Letting everything be a benediction. And I don't mean that in any sort of traditional religious context, but more of like, I think it was the legendary Lakota leader Black Elk that said, in a sacred manner I walk. Mm.
I mean, doing less is a simple idea, but it's not always easy. It is very much unlearning for some. Every pause is like a little tiny rebellion. For me, it feels like a tantrum. Like, feels like a little temper tantrum, and then I'm like, oh yay, I'm resting. I have a feeling I'm not alone, and that, at least based off what I see in the world. What's performing rest versus like surrendering to it? And I know we talk a lot about surrender in yoga setting, but what is the difference between performing it and surrendering to it? Like, performing rest, I think of a scenario like your body is horizontal, but like your mind is still in a staff meeting. You'll light the candles and pour the tea and put on a calm playlist, what you think is calm, but you're secretly timing how quickly it will make you feel better so you can get back to work, right? Like, when we surrender, that's a lot different, right? Like, it's letting go of the stopwatch and the outcome and giving yourself to the moment really fully, not to become more productive later, but because you're just allowed to stop now. Like, who cares what's going to happen later? It's okay to just be with yourself right now. One is rest as a performance for your kind of like inner manager, and the other is rest as a, like, a, you know, a homecoming to yourself. I mean, I find that to be a good way to look at that. So you've already shared a little bit about practices that help you, like, do you have anything else you want to add to that, like practices that help you rest or relax?
One thing that I really enjoy is putting on these headphones that you got me that are very low volume. They're flat and they're fitted into a headband, so you can wear it and lay on your side. So mm-hmm. You could lay on a pillow and listen to music. And one of my all-time favorite artists is, her name's Liz Harris, and she goes by the name Grouper. And I've always been a fan of her music. I know she's really found an incredible audience now. But she's been around a long time.
Mm. One of my faves, too.
Yeah, just, like, so good. And one of my favorite things to do is to listen to one of her records cover to cover. You used the word rebellion earlier. That's a personal rebellion of mine, to listen to a record cover to cover.
Mm-hmm.
Be it I don't have any social media or any sort of streaming music subscription, I will make it a point to listen to someone's record from beginning to end. And that's one of my favorite ways to chill out, is to put on these headphones where I can sort of lay about and really take up space and stretch out and listen maybe to Grouper. Or I've been in kind of a jazzy mode these days, revisiting some of my favorite jazz recordings. I've been listening to a lot of Jerry Mulligan, legendary baritone saxophonist. His album Nightlights is amazing. And the playing on that is just like beyond, with Art Farmer on trumpet and Jim Hall on guitar, two masters of, in my opinion, balsamic production.
Mm.
It's not super flashy, but it's just like, it's just so musical. And in a way, it doesn't share anything genre-wise with Grouper, but energetically, to me, there's a through line, and it's a way I love to relax, is to listen to those records like that, cover to cover.
I like that. I want to share that imperfect practice is still practice. Sometimes rest looks like scrolling past your own bedtime or picking up your phone mid-meditation, guilty. Deciding to just check one thing and falling into a two-hour rabbit hole, which I see you do sometimes. We're like, just 5 more minutes, like, and I'm going to close down shop, like, in here. And then an hour later, I'm like, what were you doing? You're like, oh, I was reading an article, and you just, you know, keep clicking. I think that's like, you know, it's still practice. And or me, like, I get distracted by 17 times before I finally sit down. And but here's the thing, like, none of that means that you failed. It means that you're human, which is one of the reasons why I think this podcast is so cool, or at least, you know, I'm excited about it, is because it's talking about that, like, we're human, like, we're practicing all of these things that we're going to talk about on the podcast. And some days it's going to be really clear and nourishing, and other days it's going to be clumsy and interrupted. But every attempt, even the imperfect ones, is still part of the practice. And I don't think the key is flawless execution. It's just to have honest awareness and asking ourselves, like, am I actually giving myself space right now? What's pulling me away, and what might I need instead? So this imperfect rest still counts, because you show up, and showing up again and again and again is the real work of being alive. And like I say all the time, like being human is the hardest thing I've ever done. So it stands to reason that you got to keep practicing.
I like how you incidentally quoted Stephen Sondheim from Company. Mm-hmm. Being Alive is one of my favorite songs.
That is a good song. I didn't mean to, to quote.
Somebody ruined my sleep and sit in my chair, make me aware.
But I do think, I think the core truth is that you know, me, us, like, you're not a brand, you're not a machine, you're a human, and just a human with a beating heart, a nervous system that needs tending and love, and a spirit that really craves more than just being something that has an output. And sometimes the most radical act is to stop performing, whether it be for the algorithm or for other people or even for your own inner critic, and just be. And not because it makes you better later, but because, and not because it's productive, but because you're allowed to exist without earning it.
That's a beautiful sentiment. That's at least why I look up to my dogs.
They definitely
exist.
Yeah, exist without feeling like they have to earn it, for sure. I think that this whole topic is super radical. Like choosing to pause in a culture that rewards exhaustion is kind of a way of reclaiming your time, your body, and your presence. And really thinking about how to use rest as a portal, and what true rest looks for you, person to person. Because I think that doing less is an act of trust, like trusting that you're enough without proving it, trusting that life will meet you even if you stop sprinting toward it. So much of our practice on and off the mat isn't about checking out. It's about checking in, like deeply, fully, unapologetically checking in. Like unapologetically. And I know for me that's like that big thing. Like, how can I unapologetically like show up? And how is that radical? I don't think that rest is an intellectual switch that you can flip. It's really like an embodied remembering. So this could be body work, like teaching your muscles and tissues and breath that it's like safe to slow down. It could be nervous system work, like you could practice stillness. This is life work, like unlearning urgency as you default and reroute into that enoughness that Gabe said he's really liking these days. Reminding yourself that this is a practice that you have to do again and again. And I think the bigger message here is that rest isn't quitting. It's very much like coming home to yourself. It's not a luxury. It's your birthright. Like, just being alive means you get to rest. And in a world that tells you to be more, make more, prove more, choosing to do less is a radical act of self-worth. And I hope that you feel inspired to do something kind for yourself, like do something sweet for yourself is what I say often, but like whatever. It doesn't have to be restorative yoga or even an asana practice at all. Like, it could be a walk, a hike, reading a book, like Gabe, listening to a record cover to cover. It is your world, and you get to pick how you want to rest. And I would love to hear how you like to rest. Hopefully you can engage with us a little bit on social media or email. I would love to hear like your ideas around rest and like what you're doing these days to care for yourself and big and small ways. I just want to say, as a personal reminder to our listeners, you are not your output. Maybe that can be your mantra, like as you move through your week. I know that's something that we are both currently unlearning around doing less too here in our household. And yeah, so Gabe, do you have anything else you want to say?
I'd just like to say, in this moment, I'm feeling very inspired by your insight and your perspective. And it's rare that I get high on my own supply, but I'm looking forward to listening back to this podcast for some of the things that you said.
Oh, that's sweet. Well, let me know what you think. Until next time,
three piece.
Hi, everyone. If you're looking for a nice way to rest, you can join us Monday, August 18th for Restore, Candlelight, and Music. Candlelight yoga is a beautiful and calming practice that typically involves practicing yoga poses with props by soft glow of candlelight. And it can be a really nice way to unwind and relax, creating a really peaceful and serene atmosphere. And Gabe will be there playing. It's 7:30, August 18th. Hope to see you there.